It's Barcelona versus Mallorca this weekend, and we're giving money back as cash if Antoine Griezmann scores at any time. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. I'm back off furlough, and I suppose this is my first game back after a pre-season, so hopefully I'm not too rusty. I'm delighted to be able to be joined today with Mark Langdon and Aidan Perkins from the Racing Post Sport Desk and Paddy Power's very own Jason Murphy. We've got a lot to talk about today. Football is returning across the countries, and of course we've got the Bundesliga that's held us all together for a few weeks now. Mark, I'll come to you first, mate. We've seen now that the Premier League will be returning. That's coming back next week. The Championship will be returning. We've seen leagues kind of finished off in League One and Two. What have we made of the last sort of few days of news?
I'm disappointed. I understand why League One, was called off, because it was a lot of money to carry on, but it just doesn't sit right, really, that I mentioned this last week, but Wickham can vote to end the season and then play in the playoffs. Like, you know, that doesn't, and Tranmere being relegated by the narrowest of margins and fractions. I'm not sure that they've come to the right conclusion there. I don't know. They maybe needed a bit more creative thinking, at least to extend the playoffs to make them bigger, only get a couple of teams being relegated. I think that would have, both of those options would have worked. But what we're left with is just an incredible amount of football to get through. I think it's, it's like a World Cup. If you think just Premier League terms, that is like a World Cup amount of fixtures and sort of time schedule. But we've also got Championship and Spain and Italy. It's like sort of a World Cup, a European Championship, and sort of, I don't know, Copa America all being played at the same time. It's going to be a summer like we've never known before, really. Looking forward to it. Not looking forward to all the content, actually. It's going to be crazy time.
I was going to say, Mark, what does your day look like at the moment? Are you across all of the Austrian sort of stuff as well? I mean, you must be literally watching football 24/7 at the moment, aren't you?
No, not as much, actually, Jack. I've taken on, in this sort of these emergency times, I've taken on a bit of a Kenny Dalglish when he was player manager, or I'm trying to think of other maybe less successful player managers. That's probably more what it is. I'm doing a variety of roles at the moment, but I'm hoping to get back to the proper business of football soon enough.
Good stuff. Jason, I think my Twitter feed over the past sort of few weeks or few days has just been filled with Barry Fry kind of saying that Peterborough, it was his worst day of his footballing life. We've seen a lot of teams, harshly treated. The likes of Rotherham may feel the other way. I mean, are you excited about the return of the Premier League? And on the flip side, would you have liked to see, the lower down leagues continue like Mark?
Yeah. So in terms of the Premier League, very excited with it coming back. It's not the summer I'd planned with the Euros. Was meant to be getting married, a stag in Madrid to see the Killers. But really excited still, with the football that's coming back. We have a lot of end-of-season specials for the Premier League. Teams to go unbeaten in the remaining games, or who'll get the most points, they're all on site. And we will have some very, very generous offers next week to keep an eye out on. So there's plenty of football to look forward to, and I can't wait to get stuck into it and for it all to start. It's been great with the Bundesliga, but I'm a big fan of La Liga in particular, so can't wait for that all to kick off and get going. In terms of the decisions that were made, as an odds compiler, the way that the leagues were settled, no one's going to be happy with how they were settled. You're never going to please everyone. But I still think that it was a bit harsh. In particular, Peterborough and Barry Fry, I heard him on Talk Sport yesterday morning, and he's very, very vocal, like you said, and he made a good argument. And us as odds compiler, the way we priced it up in the office, like, we had it a 75% chance that Peterborough would finish in the top six and a 33% chance of going up. So, they're really harshly done by, and as Mark said, the way the vote was done and how clubs could vote. So off the back of that, like, we did refund on Peterborough in the top six and promotion markets. We did do likewise for Sunderland, who were 50% chance to stay up. We paid out on Crewe to win League Two because they were top of the table, albeit we still think Swindon would have won it. But that's okay. Like, teams not getting promoted, all right, it's disappointing. But for the likes of Tranmere, I think it's absolutely devastating. We still think that, you know, it was only a 40% chance that they would stay up, that they were more than likely going to go down. But it's a game changer. Like Mark Pallias was on Sky Sports News talking about this morning, and he seems very sensible and level-headed, and they're within their right to look at the legal issue. But as Barry Fry said yesterday, you know, if you're suing the EFL, you're only suing other clubs, and, you know, they don't want to be doing that either. So it was always going to be a can of worms. You were never going to please everyone or make everyone happy. It is what it is now at this stage. We like you said, we've refunded and paid out on some injustices that we had seen there. And just going forward, I think it's a big opportunity for football itself to sort itself out and just get some stability. If you look, Premier League revenue is going to be down 1 billion. That needs to be looked at. Championship turnover at the moment, the ratio of wages to turnover is 107%. That is just not sustainable. So, like, it is an opportunity for the good of the game to sort it out in the years to come. So, yeah, that's probably a bit of a mouthful there, but that's my thoughts on all that, yeah.
No, great stuff. And Adrian, from a punting perspective, also welcome. It's your debut on the Football Postcard, so welcome. There is an overwhelming amount of football to get through over the next couple of months. From your kind of punting perspective, how are you looking at, you know, trying to get the most value out of the sheer amount of games at the moment?
Well, I mean, you're right. Thanks for having me, first of all. Yeah, I mean, we've seen with the Bundesliga, haven't we? I think this has been talked about in previous weeks, how away teams have thrived, haven't they? And I think that's something to look at. You know, we might see that in the Premier League when it kicks off next week as well, and maybe with La Liga as well. You know, away teams seem to be really doing well because maybe the home teams have lost that home advantage that is traditional because there's no crowds. So I think that's, you know, maybe an avenue to look at for punters. I do also think that we need to research in terms of teams that have maybe had a lot of injuries before the lockdown and were struggling, that have now had the chance to really reset and maybe got key players back. I can think of Tottenham straight away in the Premier League with, you know, Harry Kane and Heung-min Son being back amongst others. Barcelona and Real Madrid are both going to welcome back Hazard and Suarez, two key men for them. So, you know, there's aspects to look at there in terms of teams that are going to, you know, be in a better state now, in a much better state than when the league, a lot of the leagues stopped. So, you know, they're little things to look at. You know, there wasn't too long ago when we only had the Belarus League to keep us going. So we're all absolutely grateful, aren't we, to have the football back and, you know, Bundesliga, La Liga and the Premier League next week.
Yeah, definitely good stuff. Yeah, that's a nice link, actually. We'll get straight into the Bundesliga, the league that's kept us going over the last few weeks. We've probably got them to thank, showing us some evidence that football can work behind closed doors. Maybe it's not quite the same, but at least it's something to watch. And I've very much enjoyed what I've seen so far. Jason, we'll come to you first. Any kind of fancies across the Bundesliga this weekend?
Yeah, the first game up, Hoffenheim against Leipzig. Hoffenheim 11-2, draw 4-1, and Leipzig 2-5. I just think there's been a bit of a too familiar pattern with Leipzig, especially since the turn of the year. Another draw last week against Paderborn. That's 3 draws and 5 since the restart, and it's 11 draws this season in total. And again, it's partially self-inflicted. Now, Mkano got a second yellow card before halftime last week for kicking the ball away, an absolute ridiculous thing to do. But Leipzig still created chances, but just did not take them. Werner had an incredible chance to make it 2-0. Hedara, when he came off the bench, missed an absolute sitter. And similar to their first game back against Freiburg, again, it was a draw and they missed massive chances in that. So looking at this game in particular, I just think Hoffenheim are actually in a bit of form. You know, the 2 wins and 2 draws since came back. They did have that defeat against Hertha Berlin in the first game back. Well, I thought for the first hour or so, Hoffenheim were actually quite good in that game and should have been leading at halftime. So they're 2 points off 6. They're actually in 7th place at the moment, which, given the results midweek in the German Cup, should carry European qualification with it. So Hoffenheim have plenty to play for and are actually in a bit of form. And Leipzig are missing a few. Poulsen, Sabitzer, Mkano is suspended. Now, Patrick Schick will come in or continue in Poulsen's absence, and has 3 goals in the last 3 games, Captain Willie Orban will be back in the defence. But for the prices as they are, I think Hoffenheim at 15-8 plus one is a great bet. And Schroeder's done a fantastic job since you know the summer changes and taking over in the summer. And also Kramaric also might be back. So if he was to start, you know, you could see that price shorten a bit more. So Hoffenheim for me at 15-8 plus one is probably my best bet in the Bundesliga. And we'll look forward to watching Bayern against Gladbach on Saturday night. There will be a few players missing, Lewandowski and Muller suspended. So Gnabry would probably be having a look in the goal score markets. He's already shortened. He's 3-1 first goal scorer now. But even when shot on target markets come out, could be worth a look as well, because, you know, those bookmakers can be slow to adjust prices when star strikers are missing.
Yeah, great stuff, Aidan. I mean, we've got this Hoffenheim-Leipzig clash on Friday night, 7:30 on BT Sport 1. I've heard a lot about Leipzig over the last couple of weeks. I mean, what is so attractive about them to the ordinary football fan?
I mean, they play this high-pressing style. They've got, you know, some real star men. We all know about Timo Werner. It looks like he's going to make the move to the Premier League. It looked pretty much nailed on. He was going to join Liverpool a few weeks ago. I thought that was going to be the case. But now Chelsea are very much in the driving seat, we're led to believe, to sign Timo Werner. He's been absolutely outstanding. Patrick Schick, as was just mentioned there, he's actually scored 3 in his last 3. So he's possibly more informed than Werner. But, you know, there's other players as well for Leipzig that have done really well. You know, I would actually go against the selection there before. I think Leipzig are going to win this tonight. I know Hoffenheim are in a little bit maybe more slightly better form, and Leipzig were disappointing last week when they were 1-1 with Paderborn, but I think that was just a bit of a blip from them, and I expect Leipzig to go to Hoffenheim on Friday night and get the victory.
Okay, and we've got 3 games on the Saturday, 4 games on Saturday and 1 on Sunday. Across all of them fixtures, Aidan, what kind of stands out to you, and what games in there will you be having a few pennies of?
Yeah, I fancy Dortmund at Fortuna Dusseldorf. Obviously, no surprise really to suggest that Dortmund would win that match. But I think a victory to nil, I can get about 6-4 on that. Can't see anything other than a Dortmund away win. Very, very faint title hopes now. Looks like Bayern Munich have got it wrapped up. Bayern are 7 points clear. Fortuna are struggling in the bottom 3. They're third bottom. They're 3 points ahead of Werder, who are below them, and still 3 behind Mainz directly above. So they do need the points. There's no doubt about it as well, Dusseldorf. But Dortmund have been sensational, really, since the restart, apart from the disappointing defeat against Bayern. Erling Braut Haaland as well, I read yesterday, looks like he's back after he's missed a couple of games due to a minor knock. And he's been absolutely brilliant as well, Haaland. I think he's going to eventually get a move to either the Premier League or La Liga. And I just think Dortmund are outstanding. They've won a lot of their games since the return 2-0. Kept 3 clean sheets in 5 games since the return. So I think that's going to happen again. I can see them getting a good win at Dusseldorf again to win to nil. And that 6-4 to me really appeals.
Great stuff, Mark. I know a lot of your fancies in this postcast will probably come later on in La Liga, but we're looking at the Bundesliga at the moment. So across the games, what stands out for you here?
I think that there's a couple, actually. First of all, I agree with Aidan on the Dortmund to win to nil. They've only conceded 3 goals in their last 9, 11 wins in 13 since the winter break. You know, they've actually tightened up. You feel as if Dortmund are this gung-ho, expressive side, but actually been pretty tight at the back, and they don't offer up a lot of opportunities. Even against Bayern Munich, it was, depending on where you stand on that, it was either a goalkeeping error or a brilliant goal by Kimmich that decided that game. I was looking at Cologne to beat Union. Really interesting game, this one, because Cologne in the league table and on expected goals are seen as, you know, considerably better, I think, than Union. And yet, maybe it's the lack of home advantage here that's sort of factoring in the prices. But I thought that Cologne odds against looked fair enough. And the other one for me really is I wouldn't be backing Bremen at Paderborn. You know, Paderborn's only defeat in the last 5 was against Borussia Dortmund. And I also was looking at Gladbach plus 1.5 against Bayern Munich. Bayern have got a lot of quality, and we had Jason there speaking earlier about, you know, Gnabry probably going up front and they can move Perisic wide. But it's a quick turnaround from the game on Wednesday night when they beat Eintracht Frankfurt 2-1. Lewandowski scored 30 Bundesliga goals this season. Müller's got 20 assists. To be without both of those players through suspension, I think that... you know, about as vulnerable as Bayern can be here against a Gladbach team that's decent on the counter-attack. So I'd probably be going for Gladbach on the handicap, Dortmund to win to nil, and I'd probably also be back in Cologne.
Brilliant stuff. Well, there's a few certainties in life at the moment, but you gents bringing us some, a whole host of knowledge is certainly one of them. We're going for a quick break. We'll be back in a moment to look at the return of La Liga and also the Italian football. See you in a moment.
Paddy Power's two-up offer applies to the Bundesliga and La Liga. If the team you back goes two goals up, we'll pay you out as a winner straight away, no matter what happens in the rest of the game. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast with myself, Jack Reeve, Mark Langdon, Aidan Perkins and Jason Murphy join me today. It's worth noting as well, with football and racing returning, now is the perfect time to reap the benefits of the Racing Post Members Club, which includes all the top tips, premium articles, in-depth form and the digital newspapers in one location, plus a whole lot more. Better yet, it's only £10 for 3 months. That's the best offer we've had to date. All you have to do is head to theracingpost.com and enter the promo code Racing is back. Gents, okay, the return of La Liga. This is big. Mark, we'll come to you first here, I think. All of the top teams are returning. Where are you looking at here for some value?
I think the title race really... difficult to call in terms of sort of anti-post. I'm not quite sure that there is a huge amount out there. I think the really interesting factor for me is whether fans are allowed back at some stage. The government was saying earlier on this week that they believe that they will be allowed back in before the end of the season, which I think could be huge for Barcelona because it could mean as many as 30,000 being in the Nou Camp. And Real Madrid, of course, have decided to dig up the Bernabeu. So they're playing their home matches at their training ground. And that could be decisive in when we're talking about, you know, really tight fractions, not much being between Barcelona and Real Madrid. That kind of home advantage, you know, that Barcelona could have may just decide it. I also think Suarez coming back is big for them. Barcelona definitely missed him. In terms of the games this weekend, I mean, it starts on Thursday night and with an absolute beauty as well. One of the biggest derbies in Europe, Sevilla against Real Betis, El Gran Derby. I thought that Sevilla were fair enough in this game. And I'm slightly nervous because home advantages, you know, it feels like it's disappeared in the Bundesliga. In Bundesliga 2, it's running about what it was before. So hard to say whether I'll read too much into it. But I thought Sevilla, who scored in every... the only teams to have stopped Sevilla scoring this season, Real Madrid and Barcelona. So I think Sevilla will win that derby against Betis. There's another derby as well on the following night on Friday, Valencia against Levante. When Aidan was talking earlier on about teams that were struggling, you know, because of injuries, I think Valencia were definitely one of those that needed, you know, a bit of time to reset. Levante got the worst XG in Spain, and Valencia, I think, will come back well from the break. I'll leave my nap for now. I'll save that one for later. I'm not getting involved in the Barcelona game. They've only won 5 times away from home this season. It looks... They should beat Mallorca, but like I say, they haven't been great away from home. Really interested to see what happens with Real Madrid, like I said, playing at their training ground. They take on an Eibar side that attacks, and that usually isn't good news in this type of game. They were beaten 4-0 in the reverse fixture, been beaten 5-0 by Barcelona. I think Real Madrid to win and over 2.5 goals, around about 7-10. Is the one to go there, and at a much bigger price. I really like this one. For he's 19-1 with Paddy Power, slightly bigger elsewhere. Marcus Llorente to score first for Atletico Madrid away to Athletic Bilbao. If you remember, Llorente scored those two goals at Anfield, what feels like a lifetime ago in the Champions League. I can't believe Atleti managed to win that game. They're absolutely battered. But he scored twice in that game. This week, I was reading that Diego Simeone's been trying him up front. I don't think he's going to play up front because Diego Costa's fit. But what Marca have put down in their probable teams is for Llorente to play off of Diego Costa. If he plays in that position, he's not a natural number 10, but if he plays in that position, just a 22-1 or 19-1 just looks really, really juicy. You know, he did score twice at Anfield. He also, on his penultimate start, he scored first away to Valencia. So he's got a little bit of a taste for a goal. If he's moved slightly further forward, that could be a lively little runner.
Well, there's real enthusiasm in your voice there, Mark. I like the sound of that.
I never feel enthusiastic for Atletico usually.
Jason, even before lockdown, when we had the Premier League and a full EFL fixture list, you quite often ventured into La Liga for your naps. I suspect you're rather excited about the return, are you?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. And some fantastic insight from Mark there on what he's gone through. Now, obviously, gearing up for the return of it, we've gone with 12 outright markets for La Liga, so fantastic offering there. We've always offered the two-up offer, so if your team goes two-up and fails to win, you'll get your paid out as a winner. And we're offering a money back if Griezmann scores any time against Mallorca on Saturday night. You'll get cash back on that. So plenty of good offering there for La Liga's return. But in terms of the outrights, I just want to give you three outright bets. So Marcus touched on it and Aidan touched on it in the opening about Barca and Real. Hazard coming back, I think, is a fully fit Hazard is always a joy to watch. So really excited about that. The bottom line, though, is Messi. If Messi stays fit, then I think Barca will go on to win it. Just with 11 games left, I can see them just staying ahead of Madrid. They're 2 points clear at the moment. Real do have the better head-to-head record. Other factors are Setien. He was always talked about getting the Barca job, but it is still a bit of a step up for him. Whereas we know Zidane, you know, he's won the Champions Leagues. He's won a La Liga title before. So that's another factor in the title race. And the stadium that Mark alluded to there as well, that Real are out of Bernabeu. Now, we did see a headline that Atletico Madrid have offered their stadium if France are low back, but I didn't buy too much into it. But just that the prices, the tip I would give here is we are best price at the moment on Real at 7-5. And just given the better head-to-head record and Messi, given his age, there was injury concerns with him about a week ago. You know, if something was to happen to Messi, I'd have Real would be fabs to win the title. So at the 7-5, I think if you want to back something in the winner market there, that's the bet to have. In terms of the top four race, I think Atletico will get into the top four for some of the reasons outlined by Mark. You know, fit Diego Costa is a massive bonus. Now, it's the first time since Diego Simeone has taken over Atletico Madrid that they've been outside the top four at this stage of the season with 11 games to go. But that win against Liverpool was a massive morale boost for them as well. So I think Atletico do get in the top four. But the tip to join them, I'm going to put up, is Real Sociedad at 2-1. Fantastic team to watch. A lot of brilliant young players. Martin Odegaard, I'd little off topic here, but Norway there, about 500-1 for Euro 2020. Have to come through the playoffs against Serbia, Scotland and Israel, I think. But if you think Odegaard and Haaland a year older next year, if they get to the finals and you're on a 500-1, you'll enjoy that summer bet. But even Yannis is starting to play well. Mikel Merino in midfield has been fantastic. And you also have Irla Mendy coming back, who's kind of their linchpin in midfield. Phenomenal player. And the fact they didn't miss him really says a lot. They were one of the form teams before the lockdown. So I think Sociedad, to pick up where they left off and finish the job, I think is a great bet at 2-1. Just because I also think Getafe will struggle with their style of play. So I think Getafe are taking up too much of the top four market. Just their squad and style of play is quite attritional. And I think over this short period, with this many games, I think that could count against Getafe. And the last outright bet I'm going to give is relegation, and it's Espanyol to stay up. There's 4-1 out there. They are bottom of the table, but what they do have is Raúl de Tomás, a lad that's going to score plenty of goals, and a fantastic manager in Albelardo. He performed miracles at Alaves for about a year and a half, got them out of trouble and decided to step away. Espanyol have had their struggles this season. They did qualify for Europe last year, so they're not they're not a bad team, but with a good manager in the Thomas up top, I think they have a chance of getting out, partly because I can see other teams struggling. Eibar are quite a small team. Their manager, Mendebar, is gone in the summer, and there's a lot of players that are coming to end their contracts. If Eibar get off to a bad start, you know, players can be looking towards next season and their futures. And also Leganés, I'd love to see Leganés stay up. I feel so bad for them. I thought they got absolutely a job done on them with Martin Braithwaite being taken by Barcelona in January. After already selling in Nesri as well, that's their two best strikers were sold in January. Their next top scorer there was Oscar with 7, and I don't think anyone else has scored more than a goal in their squad. Oscar's on loan from Real Madrid. He's only 21. He's a massive player for them. But Javier Aguirre, since the two strikers have been sold, has turned Leganés around. He had to completely change their style of play because of the strikers that he had after losing Braithwaite and then Nesri. So I'd love to see Leganés stay up purely off the back of that, but I don't think I will. Espanyol to stay up at 4-1 for a couple of other reasons. I think he's a good anti-post bet. For the matches this weekend, I'm actually going to slightly disagree with Mark on Real Madrid. I think Eibar or the draw 3-1 is a bet. The Real Madrid price at the moment is the exact same price that they were the week before lockdown. As in, the market is pricing up this game the exact same as it did prior to lockdown, which means it hasn't made any account for home advantage. And like we said, not playing in the Bernabeu in front of the massive, massive crowd has to have an impact.
Just going to say on that... could it be argued, and I'm toying with the idea myself, I'm not quite sure, could it be argued that playing in a training ground situation actually could be of benefit? I don't know if it is, because it happened so, you know, I can't remember the last time it happened, but I'm just thinking the players are really familiar with those surroundings, you know, that, and they're also familiar with playing in those surroundings when there's nobody there. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you go to the Bernabeu and play in an empty stadium that should be holding 80,000 or whatever, that might feel sort of more odd than just a normal training ground environment.
Yeah, a lot of ex-pros say that the big difference is trying to motivate, concentrate, and get yourself up for the games. Now, I don't think that will be an issue with Eibar for this game. And the style of play that Eibar play, I know you alluded to it, but they actually bet Real Madrid at home last season, and their press actually, I think, could work quite well against Real Madrid if they manage to pull it off. I just think it is a leveller. If the market had Real Madrid this price before the lockdown, the only difference of note is Hazard coming back in. So obviously Real Madrid have to shorten a bit with Hazard being fit, like he wasn't fit for the game prior to lockdown. But even allowing Hazard to be fit, the price for Real Madrid, I believe, should still be a bit bigger, allowing for the home advantage issue. And again, this is the great thing about it. It is quite a subjective thing at the moment until we get more data on it. And I know people keep talking about the Bundesliga sample size and the results, but that is outcome bias. You know, we can't make conclusions on that. But if you look at all the individual factors that go into what home advantage is, you know, travel distancing, crowd size, and travel distancing, I'm talking about, you know, is it a bus, is it a plane, are you having to stay overnight? All these things kind of add up into it, including how familiar you are with your surroundings. And for me, I just think the market, for all those factors, especially the crowd not being their factor, I don't think they've accounted for enough. Now, Real Madrid, like you said, could definitely go win this game, score plenty of goals, and, you know, that'd be a great call. But in terms of the prices at the moment, I just have a slight disagreement there, and I think there is value in Eibar, just given their style of play, how they played against Madrid last season. And Eibar have one of the smallest stadiums in the world for a top league team. You know, this training ground in Madrid, I think it'll actually suit them down to the ground. And I also believe, the first week of Bundesliga, teams were quite rusty coming back. They didn't have what would be normally 6-7 pre-season games to get them up to some sort of speed. And I think that is also a leveller as well. So at the prices, I'm just going to put Eibar there or the draw at 3-1. And I totally agree with you on Atletico Madrid. I think Marcus Llorente is an absolute brilliant shout. And I've actually would put up Atletico at 6-5 to go and win at Bilbao. Bilbao were actually in quite bad form, really, and bar from a good cup run. You know, they haven't been great for a while. So for me, I think Atletico Madrid at 6-5 is a great bet. And we've already seen a drift in Bilbao in the last 3 or 4 days. So the price might be slightly gone on it, but based on it, fit Diego Costa, the squad that Atletico have assembled in All Black in the goal. I mean, this is going to be a low-scoring game against Bilbao anyways. It is Atletico that are playing. But with All Black in the goal, and like you said, Diego Costa fit up top, I think Atletico at 6-5 would be one of my better bets for this weekend.
Well, brilliant. If anyone was felt like they were going into La Liga slightly blind this weekend, then that's a very comprehensive look at things. Aidan, we've seen a 22-1 first goal scorer a tip and a 500-1 Norwegian tip. I hate to think where you're going.
Well, I was looking at Granada actually. Getafe to win at Granada this weekend. Getafe have had a fantastic season. They are fifth, trying to replicate what they did last year, whereas Granada are down in ninth. So Getafe level on points with Real Sociedad above them. They've had a great season. I think they'll be keen to push on in the running. Granada, on the other hand, 7 points off sixth place. A European place for them looks like a bit of a struggle. So I think there's more for Getafe, you know, to go for in this match. And I think at 7-5, for them to win away from home, with everything we've talked about away from home, Getafe can get a win here this weekend against Granada. That would be one that I would look at. The other Spanish game that I looked at as well was Celta Vigo to beat Villarreal at 6-4. Celta were unbeaten in five before the matches were stopped. That was two wins and three draws, although there were two nil-nils in that as well. Villarreal had lost their last three. Now, I know I'd said before about teams resetting and the fact that, you know, we can almost make it into a fresh start. But again, Celta's need looked a little bit greater. They're 17th. They are lower in the table than Villarreal, which is why you've obviously got the better odds. Just one place outside the top three, 1 point clear of the relegation zone. They need to hit the ground running and, you know, they need the points on the board to stay up, whereas Villarreal are eighth, but they're 7 points adrift of the top six. And they might be thinking, well, is it realistic for them to get into Europe this season? That's probably virtually out of reach. So I'm just looking at that and thinking that maybe Celta Vigo, the need might be greater for them. And for them to be 6-4, I think to me represents a little bit of value.
Jack, I think it's really important, just very quickly on that point about motivation, because I do wonder, that's one of the things I'm going to be looking at, I think, is teams that have maybe got nothing to play for in empty stadiums. That motivation factor, I think, could be, I mean, it's factored into prices sort of at the end of the season. I just wonder if it could come into play, like Aidan was saying, a little bit earlier. You know, the teams that really need the points. I think that's a fascinating sort of sideshow to what's going on here.
Yeah, definitely. And there's so much to get involved with, isn't there? Well, you're certainly making my job easy today, lads. I'm just sitting back, sipping my tea and listening to you. Your comprehensive knowledge, great stuff. Right, let's move over to Italy, where we're going to be seeing the Coppa Italia semi-finals. We've got a game at 8 p.m. on Friday, seeing Juventus taking on AC Milan. Jason, why not come to you first, mate? What are we thinking for this game?
Yeah, so the prices, Juventus 1-2, the draw 16-5, Milan 5-1. Just to give context, it's 1-1 from the first leg. And all Milan fans will tell you that they probably should have won the first leg 2-0. They were fantastic. They got Hernandez sent off, and then Juventus were given a penalty that probably only Juventus would be given. Aldo bicycle kick and hits a defender's hand and finishes 1-1. Milan fans would absolutely love to win this, but Zlatan is out. I think Hernandez is suspended, and he's probably one of their better players this season. He was really good at Sociedad last season, and I don't see him staying there next year. It's sad to see Milan, really, for how the club is at the moment. Now, their financial situation is being getting sorted out, but I think they're only being kind of sorted out to be sold on as an investment to make a bit of a profit. So it could be a while yet before we see them back at the top table in Europe. But how they would love to win this. I think they've only beaten Juventus once, maybe in 3 years, and that was in a one-off game in the Super Cup. So look, the heart would love to see Milan result here, but just, yeah, I could be tempted with Milan. Maybe have a look in the, you know, there is no extra time. So if it is a draw, it does go straight to penalties. If it's the correct score draw, away goals do count. So Milan do have to score in this game. So maybe have a look at Milan to qualify or Milan to win on penalties, possibly. I'd love to see this. Just Juventus, maybe a little bit rusty. We know Sarri from Chelsea, how players have to adjust his methods, and, you know, Juventus were adjusting his methods eventually, but maybe that stop start now, you know, just when they're getting up to speed, maybe it might knock them back a peg or two and they might be a bit rusty getting back up into that rhythm. So I'd love to see an upset here with Milan. And if you're watching it, then yeah, maybe have a look at Milan at the bigger prices.
Mark, are you of a similar mindset?
I think that no, I think Juventus, and well, I think it'd be a tight enough game. I was looking at Juventus and under 3.5 goals as the way to go in this game, because as Jason alludes to there, at some stage Milan will have to come out and attack, and I just don't think they've got the quality up front. The fact that Ibrahimovic came back from MLS, you know, right at the end of his career, and actually made a difference to them up front, I think says a lot about the kind of quality that they did, or rather didn't have prior to that. And the fact that he's unlikely to play is a big issue, as is Teo Hernandez, who I think has been one of the best players in Italy, really, this season. So Juventus probably not in a sparkling performance, but like so often, just about doing enough to qualify for the final. I think Juventus to win sort of 1 or 2 nil, but under 3.5, and Juve is probably the best bet.
Okay, Aidan, what about you?
Yeah, I was looking at the goal scorer markets in this one. I was interesting to read some Sarri comments the last few days about Paulo Dybala and Cristiano Ronaldo and whether or not they could play together. Now, Dybala nearly left, didn't he, last summer to come to the Premier League. I think it was Tottenham that virtually had an agreement with Dybala, but it fell through. They don't often play together from the start, but it sounds like from his comments before this match that he might be keen to start both players. So I think, you know, Ronaldo to score any time, he's 4-6, as you'd expect. But Dybala to score any time at 5-4 was a bet that maybe I was looking at for this one. I do rate Paulo Dybala. He's a talented player. Whether or not he stays at Juventus long term, there's a lot of speculation about his future, it seems to be. The other one for Milan is Ante Rebic. He scored in the first leg, and he's 4-1 to score any time for Milan. So that might be one that we could look at there for Milan to get a goal. He's had a good season on loan, has the Rebic, the Croatia international, 2-year loan deal from Eintracht Frankfurt. I think he's their top goal scorer with 7 this season. So, you know, without Zlatan Ibrahimovic, as we've mentioned, someone like Rebic might step up to the plate again.
Great stuff. And the other semi-final will be taking place on Saturday, same time, BT Sport. That will see Napoli take on Inter Milan. Mark, we'll come to you first here for you to try and find us some value.
Yeah, I thought, first of all, Napoli are one up from the first leg that just feels like it was, I can't remember when it was, but they are 1-0 up from the first leg. I thought Napoli draw no bet in this game. And the reason I'm going for that, maybe a little bit cynical, but the fact of the matter is that they've had sort of clearer preparation time. The south of Italy had much, although they were under the same lockdown rules, I think it would have been easier for those based in the south to have sort of got some fitness in their legs rather than the teams in the north. And I think it could be an issue if you go right back to a good few weeks ago, you know, teams like Napoli and Roma were pushing, Lazio were pushing to be able to get fitter and to sort of, you know, start training up again. Cagliari were another one. So I think that gives Napoli a bit more of an advantage. And you actually have a look at their form sort of prior to the lockdown. They did beat Inter in that first game. They beat Juventus. They drew against Barcelona. The one doubt for me is that normally they are a team that relies on the crowd. That is an intimidating place to go to. But against that, because of some of the sort of issues around travel at the moment, Inter are not flying into Naples until the day of the game, and they're straight out afterwards. I'm not sure about that as prep, so I'm going to go for Napoli.
Yeah, not the best prep, is it? Aidan, we'll come to you, mate, for your predictions on this game.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at it as well, and I was thinking, you know, Napoli leading that 1-0 from the first leg. I had a bit of a feeling that Inter could catch Napoli a little bit cold and maybe, you know, go the other way. Inter 15-8 to qualify, 6-4 to win the match on the night. They weren't in great form before the lockdown, but again, you know, might be a team that has sort of reset the button since the games have stopped. Lautaro Martinez is a man in demand, and Barcelona, I think, will probably sign him, whether it's this summer or at some point in the future. But, you know, he's someone that I think has got, you know, a lot to offer, and will be keen to make an impression. I've just got a feeling for Inter. They need to obviously come from, you know, the 1-0 deficit and recover that. But I think Inter in this one would be my bet.
Okay. Jason, you were looking at the away team to maybe cause an upset in the previous fixture we talked about. Are you of a similar mindset here?
The boys both make very good arguments, and it's hard to really know what to make with these teams after the lockdown. Napoli in the match pricing is 13-8, to draw 12-5, Inter 6-4. To qualify, Napoli 4-9 and Inter 7-4. Mark makes a very good point about the travelling arrangements, and it's hard to know if that's been factored in enough. But again, Inter have to score in this game, and I think they do have plenty of goals in Martinez and Lukaku to actually go and get a few. So for me, if I was going to have a bet in this game, I'd probably have a look in the outright, and you'll get best price Inter there at about 13-2 at the moment. So if you were planning on siding with Inter, I'd probably have a nibble on them in the outright.
And Jason, of course, with this, it's not actually, you know, normally with outright bets, you have to wait months for the payout, but the Italian Cup final's on Wednesday. So, it's only a bet. It's a bet that will be settled in a week either way. So, I definitely think that usually people get put off by, you know, outright sometimes because they have to wait so long for a payday, but certainly not in the Italian Cup.
Yeah, and it is one of the weirder competitions. Like, that first leg was back something like the 11th or 12th of February, and they normally have a bit of a break between their second legs, but yeah, it does seem a lifetime ago.
Well, there we go then. That's the Bundesliga, La Liga and the Coppa Italia ticked off. Right, time to get the gents' naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay then, this time of the week we'll be getting the gents' naps for an enhanced treble on the Paddy Power website. Mark, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going for a really big game at the bottom in Spain. It's Espanyol to beat Alaves. Espanyol, bottom of the table, but definitely not the worst team in Spain, and definitely not the worst team after their January investment. Chinese owners absolutely gone for it in terms of new signing. Cabrera came in at the back. A player that definitely shouldn't be playing in the second division next season. And up front, Raúl de Tomás has made a huge impression since he's returned to Spanish football. So they've strengthened in both boxes. Abelardo, the coach, of course, he's worked these miracles before at Alaves. So opportunity for him to take down his former club. And if you have a look at some of Espanyol's results prior to the lockdown, they drew with Sevilla and Atletico Madrid. They beat Barcelona. They won at Villarreal. This is not a team, I don't think, that's sort of cannon fodder at the bottom of the table. So Espanyol around about even money will do for me.
Espanyol go in the treble. Jason, what's yours?
Spoke about earlier, I'm going to put up Atletico Madrid just for the reasons outlined. Not a fan of Bilbao, like I said, have been in terrible form. It's just a cup run that's kind of kept the fans kind of on side there. We've already seen a bit of a drift this week, and I expect it to drift a bit further. The prices at the moment are pretty similar to what the prices were for this same fixture last season, and there wasn't any significant team news last year in it either. So I still think there's maybe a bit of home advantage still to be accounted for that Bilbao price to drift a little bit more. So for all the positive reasons we outlined about Atletico Madrid earlier, I'd be very happy to put them in for this week's snap.
Top man. Aidan, will you be taking us away from Spain?
Yeah, I was going to go back to the Bundesliga. I think Bayer Leverkusen to win at Schalke on Sunday afternoon is a decent one. Schalke have been in fairly dismal form since the games have come back. They've lost four and just about got a draw last weekend against Union Berlin. That was 1-1. Leverkusen have won all four of their away games since returning to action. They also won in the cup on Tuesday. That was a good 3-0 win for them. So they've beaten Mönchengladbach and Werder Bremen, both away from home. We've all heard loads about Kai Havertz. He's actually got a bit of an injury issue at the minute. It's a bit unclear whether or not he'll be fit, but it's not just him that they've got, Leverkusen. They've got a real talented squad. So I think Leverkusen to go to Schalke and get a victory would be my nap this weekend.
Great stuff, gents, as always. If you want to get on that enhanced treble, then head over to the Paddy Power website. We'll get that up for you. Links to that will be in the description. And a big sorry to producer Rob as well, who I promised we'd try and keep it to half an hour. We're about 45 minutes in. Apologies. We'll be back next week for a look at the much anticipated return of the Premier League and, of course, the Championship. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.